picture this. You're standing in your kitchen. It's late. You are completely exhausted from work.
Oh, yeah. Prime time for a misunderstanding.
Exactly. And you can feel this massive argument with your partner brewing over something, entirely ridiculous, like loading the dishwasher.
It is always the dishwasher, isn't it?
Right. Your heart rate is creeping up, your shoulders are getting tight, and you are about to say something you will absolutely regret.
We have all been there. It's just human nature.
Totally. Now, what if, before you could even open your mouth, a subtle rhythmic vibration on your wrist actually pulled your nervous system right back from the ledge?
That sounds like magic, honestly.
It does. And what if your partner felt that exact same soothing rhythm at the very same millisecond, even if they were, I don't know, three time zones away?
Which is just a wild concept to wrap your head
It
around.
really is. So if you've ever wondered how technology could actually step in and fix an argument before the first verbal shot is even fired, well, this deep dive is for you.
Because it sounds like speculative fiction, right? But as we're seeing in the latest industry data, it is very much the reality of our current consumer electronics landscape right now in 2026.
Yeah, we've crossed a massive boundary here.
We really have. I mean, technology isn't just turning our lights on or giving us driving directions anymore. It is fundamentally integrating into our most private, vulnerable, emotional lives.
And that is exactly the mission for today. We are tearing down a massive, newly released technology intelligence report from Tech & Analysis.
It is a dense read, but so incredibly important.
Oh, extremely dense. But it's this eye-opening look into what they're calling relationship biohacking.
Yeah.
This explosion of biometric intimacy gadgets.
And perhaps most importantly, the intense high-stakes cybersecurity battles happening right beneath the surface to protect our most intimate data.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really need to understand why millions of people are willingly putting medical-grade sensors into the middle of their romantic relationships.
Right. To understand the demand, we really have to look at the psychological goal this technology is trying to achieve.
Because it's not just about counting steps anymore.
No, not at all. This is a fundamental shift in how we approach human connection in a world facing total information and, well, sensory overload.
The stakes here are just incredibly high for people.
Exactly. People are trying to balance the pursuit of ultimate emotional closeness with catastrophic privacy risks. Historically, consumer tech in this space was about legacy mechanical devices or just obsessive metric tracking.
Oh, yeah, the whole industry was built on measuring every single biological function just to slap it on a dashboard.
And basically.
I mean, the era of counting every single footstep, calorie, and hour of REM sleep, it kind of turned personal health into a high score arcade game.
Which honestly became exhausting for a lot of people. It just wasn't sustainable.
No, it really wasn't. So, what's the new approach?
Well, the Tech and Report outlines a completely new paradigm taking over this year, which they classify as purposeful pleasure.
Purposeful pleasure. Okay.
Yeah, and the core engine driving this shift is a concept called bioharmony.
Bioharmony. I gotta say, it sounds like a wellness retreat in Sedona where you drink, like, overpriced juice.
It definitely does have that branding feel to it, but it is actually a highly technical physiological state. Bioharmony isn't about tracking stats to see who is, winning the relationship.
Right, it's not a competition.
Exactly. It's about mutual nervous system co-regulation. These new wearables, they're constantly monitoring heart rate variability or HRV.
Which is the tiny fluctuations in time between your heartbeats, right?
He got it.
All right.
And they pair that with galvanic skin response, which measures microscopic changes in your sweat gland activity.
So it knows when you're getting clammy or stressed.
Yes. By combining these, the device monitors your stress levels with clinical precision, totally in real time.
Okay, let me pause you right there because I have to play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Tracking your heart rate and your skin sweat during a vulnerable, intimate moment or like during a heated argument. Doesn't that sort of turn human connection into a robotic equation?
That is a very valid concern.
Because let's say we're fighting because we can't figure out how to pay our mortgage this month. A little haptic buzz on my wrist doesn't solve the financial crisis.
No, it definitely doesn't print money.
Right.
Yeah.
So doesn't this risk treating a symptom and turning us into passive zombies who never actually resolve the root cause of our issues?
That is the most common critique out there, and it's a completely natural assumption to make. But the source material addresses this head on.
Oh, really? What do they say?
The International Center for Digital Health and Human Intimacy published this massive longitudinal study concluding that the exact opposite is actually true.
The opposite. How so?
Well, think about what happens biologically when a couple gets into a conflict. Their bodies flood with cortisol, which is the primary stress hormone.
The fight or flight juice.
Exactly. When cortisol spikes, the amygdala essentially hijacks your brain. You literally shift into fight or flight mode.
So on a neurological level, my brain cannot tell the difference between arguing over household chores and, like, being hunted by a predator.
Biologically speaking, there is zero difference to your nervous system.
Wow.
Your HRV plummets, your skin conductance changes, and crucially, your brain just shuts down its empathy centers to conserve energy for survival.
So you literally can't see the other person's perspective.
Right. You are no longer capable of rational problem solving or connecting with your partner. You are just trying to survive the perceived threat.
That explains so many bad arguments.
Doesn't it? So what this technology does is actively intervene to dampen that cortisol release
By vibrating.
by delivering targeted haptic feedback that physically syncs with a resting breathing and heart rate. It uses an established neurological pathway.
Okay, so it's a physiological hack.
Exactly. The tech essentially forces your nervous system to sync with that slower, calmer rhythm. It does not replace the human connection. And as you said, it certainly doesn't pay your mortgage.
Unfortunately.
Right. But what it does do is create a physiologically secure sanctuary so that authentic, rational communication can actually happen.
Because you can't talk about money if you're panicking.
Exactly. You cannot solve a complex financial issue or connect intimately if you are stuck in fight or flight.
Okay, that reframes things completely. You are using the hardware to bypass the angry, primitive brain and soothe the body directly.
Which gives the rational brain a chance to get back online.
Which opens up a huge question for me. I mean, dampening cortisol sounds amazing in theory, but practically, how is a piece of metal and silicone on my finger supposed to trick my primitive brain into thinking my partner is holding my hand from 3,000 miles away?
That is where the engineering gets wild. The hardware specs in this teardown are an absolute masterclass in miniaturization.
What's inside these things?
We are looking at a convergence of very specific, highly advanced sensors. First, you have photoplethysmography, or PPG.
Oh, those are the little green lights you see on the back of smartwatches, right?
Precisely. They shine light into your capillaries to measure microscopic changes in blood volume with every single heartbeat.
Okay, so it tracks the pulse.
Yes. And then you combine that with continuous core body temperature tracking. All of this telemetry is streaming constantly, which requires ultra-low energy BLE 5.4 networks.
BLE 5.4. Why is that specific version so important?
Because older Bluetooth versions would drain a tiny ring battery in an hour trying to stream that much continuous data. But BLE 5.4 allows these devices to maintain a constant invisible tether without needing a massive battery.
Which makes it wearable 247.
Exactly. But the real magic, the actual mechanism that makes long-distance touch feel authentic, lies in linear resonant actuators.
LRAs. The report highlights LRAs extensively.
Yeah.
I mean, what makes an LRA different from the buzzer in an old 1990s pager?
An old pager used a tiny motor with an off-center weight spinning around. It was crude, slow to start, slow to stop, and it just created this generic, muddy buzz.
Yeah, that loud rattling sound.
Right. LRAs are entirely different. They use a magnetic voice coil to drive a small mass up and down on a spring.
So it's much more controlled.
Because they rely on magnetic fields, they generate sub-millisecond haptic frequencies. They can start and stop instantly.
Oh, wow.
They are so incredibly precise that they can literally mimic the fluid, distinct thump of a human heartbeat or a light tap on the skin.
So if my partner is traveling for work in Tokyo and I am sitting in my living room in New York, my smart ring can physically tap my finger with the exact cadence and force of their actual heartbeat in that very second.
Down to the millisecond? That is insane.
And the physiological result of that specific haptic frequency is profound. Your brain processes that tactile input and interprets it as physical proximity.
Even though they're across the world.
Yes. This triggers your endogenous pathways to release oxytocin and dopamine.
The bonding and reward hormones? Exactly. And think about how radical this is compared to traditional relationship counseling.
That was night and day.
In a traditional setting, a couple sits in a therapist's office on a Tuesday and tries to accurately recall an argument they had 2 weeks prior.
Which never goes well.
It relies entirely on subjective hindsight memory. It usually devolves into a debate over who said what or who started it.
Because memory is notoriously unreliable. Especially when cortisol was originally flooding the system during the actual event, you literally don't remember it correctly.
Exactly. Now bring AI-assisted biometric intimacy platforms into the picture. You have objective, real-time data.
The AI actually sees what's happening.
Yes. An AI relationship assistant running locally on your devices parses your communication dynamics and your biometric feeds. It sees the stress spike happening live.
So it catches the fight before it starts.
Before the argument escalates, it intervenes with those precise LRA haptics in the moment.
It's like having a check engine light for your relationship. But instead of just flashing an angry red warning on the dashboard and stressing you out more, the car actually takes over the steering briefly and gives you a soothing massage to help you avoid a crash.
What's fascinating here is how that exact utility, the ability to objectively mediate stress and simulate touch in real time, has driven consumer demand through the roof.
I mean, I totally get why.
Market analysts at Chinkin are classifying these specific intimacy wearables as one of the fastest growing hardware sectors of the decade. People don't just want data anymore.
No, they want a solution.
They want proactive, real-time intervention.
Which is an incredible leap forward for preventative mental health. But here's where it gets really interesting and honestly a bit terrifying.
Yeah, the flip side of the coin.
If these devices are recording our deepest emotional arousal, our exact stress spikes, our private relationship dynamics, and actively intervening using AI, What happens when that data falls into the wrong hands?
It's a massive concern.
Because a data leak here is not the same as someone stealing my credit card number to buy a television.
No, it's not even close. We are talking about the complete compromise of your emotional and physical privacy.
Right.
The cybersecurity crisis surrounding this tech is severe, and the Techin report does not mince words here. As adoption accelerates, the threat landscape has reached critical levels.
What are the main threats they're seeing?
First, we are seeing advanced cyber extortion, commonly referred to as sextortion, leveraging these leaked biometric logs.
Let's make sure the listener understands the gravity of this. We aren't just talking about leaked photos here.
No, this is much deeper.
Imagine a malicious actor sending you an email saying, "We have the raw biometric logs mapping exactly when you felt physiological arousal, mapped against the audio recordings of your most intimate, vulnerable arguments. Pay us, or we send this emotional map to your employer, your family, and the public."
It is a catastrophic, paralyzing scenario.
Yeah.
And extortion is just the blunt force threat.
There's more.
There is a whole shadow industry of rogue app developers engaging in unauthorized scraping of this intimate data simply to resell it to data brokers.
Just vacuuming it all up for profit.
Exactly. But perhaps the most advanced threat is AI-driven emotional phishing.
How does that actually work in practice?
So imagine an attacker gets hold of your partner's leaked biometric and communication data. They use that data to train a synthetic AI-generated partner persona.
Oh my God.
Because they have the data on your specific stress responses, they know exactly what tone of voice, what phrasing, and what emotional triggers lower your defenses.
So they can manipulate you perfectly.
They can weaponize your own nervous system's history against you to extract financial information or gain further access.
That is deeply chilling. It is literally hacking the human operating system.
It really is.
And the report also spends a lot of time on large language models, or LLMs, and the inadvertent ingestion of private data.
Yes. This is a major structural flaw in how a lot of cheap tech is built today.
How so?
If your wearable is connected to a cloud-based AI coach to help resolve your arguments, and that cloud infrastructure is not perfectly secured, your highly confidential conversations can be automatically scooped up by the parent company.
To train their model.
Exactly. They use massive data lakes to train their commercial chatbots. Suddenly, your private vulnerability becomes public training data for the next version of a tech giant's search engine.
Which brings to mind the historical precedent Techin cited to frame the stakes here. The Ashley Madison leak from way back in 2015.
They use that as the baseline benchmark for the psychological damage these breaches cause.
Because it wasn't just about money.
Exactly. When that platform leaked, the devastation went far beyond financial ruin. It caused severe life-altering psychological distress, destroyed marriages, and ruined reputations.
And intimacy data in 2026 is exponentially more detailed, biological, and personal than a simple dating profile from a decade ago.
It's not even comparable.
So we need to trace this back to the source. Where is the structural vulnerability actually coming from? Is it the wearable itself? Like, is the ring or the bracelet inherently dangerous?
No, the hardware itself isn't the primary issue. The terrifying vulnerability is public cloud storage.
The cloud.
Yes. If your biometric logs, your HRV data, and your argument histories are transmitted and stored centrally on remote servers, the risk is absolute.
Even if the company promises they're secure.
Even then. Because if that centralized cloud provider is breached, hackers gain access to vast troves of raw records. You are entirely at the mercy of a server farm's perimeter defense.
Which, as the headlines remind us every single week, are never infallible.
Right. They get hacked all the time.
So we have established the terrifying risks. We have looked straight into the abyss.
It is pretty dark.
Now, how do couples protect themselves while still actually enjoying the benefits of this relationship biohacking? Because clearly, people are still buying these devices by the million.
We are flying off the shelves.
There has to be a safe way to deploy this.
The answer, and the Tech Report makes this abundantly clear, is an absolute non-negotiable mandate for zero-knowledge, local encryption architecture.
Okay, let's break that down into plain English for the listener. What does zero knowledge actually mean in practice?
It means the company manufacturing your hardware and writing your software has literally zero mathematical ability to know what you are doing.
Zero.
Zero. The technical standard the report demands is AES 256 MIT encryption, where the encryption keys are generated and stored exclusively on local hardware secure enclaves.
So think of it like putting my diary in a titanium safe. The cloud company might provide the safe, and they might even store the safe in their warehouse, but the only key in existence is physically welded to the microchip inside the ring on my finger.
That is the perfect analogy.
So even if they wanted to read my data, or a hacker stole the entire safe, they literally do not have the math to open it.
Exactly. The data remains completely inaccessible ciphertext to everyone but you and your partner's paired devices.
Just a jumbled mess to anyone else.
A completely unreadable mess of characters. And because it is unreadable, it is impossible for commercial AI companies to ingest it into their LLM training sets.
Okay, that foundational encryption is crucial. But the Tech and Editorial Board goes much further than just hoping the manufacturer uses good math, right?
They do. They lay out a very strict, actionable operational guide for couples.
And for you listening, if you are currently using or even considering bringing any of this tech into your home, you have to treat these steps as mandatory. So how do we actually lock this down?
The first rule is demanding 100% on-device processing. Before you buy a device, read the white paper.
Don't just blindly click accept.
Exactly. Your data must be analyzed by the silicon on your phone or your wearable itself. It should never, ever be transmitted over public networks for a remote AI server to process your argument.
That makes total sense. Keep the data local. But what about backups? I know I am guilty of letting my phone automatically back up every single app to the cloud just for convenience.
And that is the second major vulnerability. You must manually disable automatic cloud backups for any intimate telemetry or messaging apps.
So convenience is the enemy here.
Convenience is absolutely the enemy of security here.
And what about the apps themselves? I've noticed some of these companion apps ask for wild permissions.
Which is step three. Audit your app permissions mercilessly. Ask yourself, why does a haptic intimacy wearable need access to your contact book or your live GPS location?
Right, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Revoke those unnecessary rights immediately in your phone settings.
The report also mentions FIDO2 hardware authentication. For anyone who isn't deep in the cybersecurity weeds, what does that actually look like for a regular user?
FO2 moves you away from relying on passwords, which can be guessed or stolen. It requires a physical hardware token.
Like a specialized USB key or something.
Yeah, a USB key or a biometric scanner on your device to authorize access. It is the digital equivalent of needing a physical VIP badge to enter a building, rather than just knowing a secret knock.
Got it. And finally, they get into home network architecture. Setting up isolated IoT guest Wi-Fi subnets. Let's make sure we explain the mechanism here.
Think of your home Wi-Fi network like a house. Right now, your biometric intimacy ring, your laptop, and your cheap 5-year-old smart fridge are all sitting in the exact same digital living room.
Right.
If a hacker breaches the smart fridge because it has terrible outdated security, they are immediately in the room with your most intimate relationship data.
So setting up a subnet is like putting the intimacy tech inside a reinforced steel vault within the house. Even if they hack the fridge and get into the living room, they can't cross over into the vault.
Precisely. You quarantine the high-risk, vulnerable smart home gadgets away from your critical personal data.
That is such a smart move.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, protecting intimate privacy in 2026 requires consumer security protocols that far exceed standard financial banking requirements.
And when you lay out the threat vectors, it completely makes sense why. I mean, if someone breaches a server and steals my credit card, the bank's fraud department just reverses the charge.
Right. It's a minor inconvenience.
I get a new piece of plastic in the mail 3 days later and my life moves on. But if someone steals a biometric map of my physiological arousal and the audio transcripts of my private couples counseling sessions, there is no fraud department to call.
None at all.
There is no reversing that exposure. The extortion risks are permanent. Taking these actionable, somewhat tedious steps is literally the only way to build an impenetrable fortress around that data.
It is about taking active ownership of your digital boundaries with the exact same rigor that you apply to your physical boundaries.
Which brings us to the ultimate conclusion of this massive, exhaustive teardown.
The final verdict.
Despite the severe cybersecurity landscape, the tech in-game verdict gives this new era of relationship biohacking a 9.9 out of 10. They officially classify it as a masterpiece of consumer technology.
They clearly see the immense, undeniable value in using continuous telemetry to enhance emotional co-regulation.
And using precision haptics to literally bridge physical distance.
But we cannot ignore the heavy caveat attached to that near-perfect score.
Oh, absolutely.
The editorial board stresses that avoiding an over-reliance on metrics is vital for long-term relational health. We cannot allow perfectly calibrated biometric scores to replace analog, messy human authenticity.
They make it very clear that open, direct, verbal communication remains the supreme foundation of any healthy relationship.
It's a tool, not a crutch.
Right. The technology should act as a catalyst for connection, not a replacement for it. You shouldn't be staring down at your phone screen to see if you are actually in love.
Or waiting for an AI notification to tell you it's time to apologize to your partner.
Exactly. When it is engineered with absolute zero-knowledge encryption and used intentionally, it is a profoundly empowering tool.
Yeah.
But the messy analog human connection has to remain the primary driver.
It has to.
So what does this all mean for us? We have reached an era where we possess microscopic sensors that can detect a fight before it even escalates.
We have haptics that can physically soothe our nervous systems in real time.
And we have cryptographic standards designed to keep our most vulnerable moments completely invisible to the outside world. It is a stunning, paradigm-shifting leap forward in how we interact with consumer tech.
This raises an important question, though, about the long-term psychological impact of engineering away all of our interpersonal stress.
Which leads to a final thought for you to take away from all this. If our wearables eventually become totally flawless at regulating our stress,
right?
If they can instantly resolve our conflicts through perfectly timed haptic feedback and real-time AI intervention, do we risk losing the unoptimized friction that actually causes human beings to grow? Think about it. A pearl is only created because a grain of sand gets inside an oyster and causes intense irritation. Without the friction, there is no pearl.
That is a great way to put it.
If a relationship has zero friction, if every single argument is perfectly smoothed out by a machine before you even feel the heat of it,
yeah,
is it still a real relationship? Or have we just biohacked our way out of the human experience?
It's a lot to think about.
It really is. Next time you are standing in the kitchen, feeling that argument brewing, you might just want to take a deep breath, leave the gadgets alone, and figure it out on your own.